Everlasting God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for another day. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. Thank you, Father, for seeing us through the month of July. Today is the last Sunday in this month. We are grateful, O Lord. We thank you. We bless your name. We give you praises. Thank you, Father, for all the words that you have spoken to us since the beginning of this year, and in particular in the month of July. We thank you for the Bible studies series we've had. We thank you, Father, for our prayer meeting. We thank you, Father, for Sunday services. We are grateful, O Lord. Father, accept our thanks and praises in Jesus' name. Daddy, this morning we come unto you. We ask that as we look into the law of liberty that is able to set us free, we ask that your word will come to correct us. Your word will come to illuminate our hearts. Your word will come in a powerful way that will touch our life and touch the life of everyone that is listening here today in the name of Jesus. Father, let your word heal us in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will speak to every one of us, O Lord, so that by the time we are leaving this place, our life will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you have your own way. We pray that you help us to speak that which you want us to speak, O Lord. We pray that we will not say anything of our own. We will say as the Spirit leads in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, O Lord, that in this service, Lord, you will lift our soul up in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that we meet every one of us at the point of our needs. God, we say thank you. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We thank you, Jehovah. We give you praises. At the end of the day, Lord, let your name and your name alone be glorified in the name of Jesus, and let your people be blessed beyond our imaginations in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. There's a song that was coming to my mind while we were still singing, while we were still praying in the minister's prayer room early in the morning. And probably the choir will help me. I just only know a little bit of it. Don't let me go back the same way I've come. I cannot remember. Can you remember it? Oh. I want us to sing that. Let's stand up, please. Let's stand up, everyone. Let's stand up.
That I came. Touch me with your hand.
Thank you, choir. God bless you. We can have our seat, please. Last week, we set the year has been declared the year of open doors. And we thank God for the choir. They sang about open heavens. Open heavens and open doors, they are almost the same. And we said the topic we were looking at last week was mastery of communication, or we can just say master the art of communication. Mastery of communication. How do we communicate to ourselves, to other people? And we said so many things about that last week, which I'm not going to repeat. But one of the things we said last week was that whenever we say anything, God is. God is listening to us. When we speak to ourselves, when we speak to other people, when we speak about other people, God listens. And we look from the scripture, we look at Numbers chapter 11 from verses 1 to 10, where the Israelites were complaining, and God said, I have heard your complaint. The Bible told us there that God heard their complaint. Also, we look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 4, verses 8, verses 9, verses 11. And the Bible tells us there as well that God said, I've heard the complaint of these people. And we established last week that whatever we say, whenever we say anything before God, God listens. God does hear us. And we said it's not only about complaining that God is. God also hear when we pray, and we use an example of Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. God has heard Daniel's prayers from the first day he was praying. And God establishes this to Daniel. And we went on to look at factors that affect the way we communicate to ourselves. We said last week there are various ways of communication. We said the word we speak to ourselves or to other people. We talk about sign language. We talk about our body language and artistic representation. We explained those things last week. And we said our point of emphasis is on ourselves, the word we communicate to ourselves. How powerful are those words that we communicate to ourselves? And that is what we emphasized on last week. We are just able to look at two factors. We look at factors that affect the way we communicate to ourselves. What are the things that motivate or that ginger that propel what we say to ourselves? And we say one of them is the challenges of life. We explained that last week. We also talk about family experience. That also was explained last week. And that was how far we were able to go last week. And I said today, we will continue with those points. So number three on factors that affect the way we communicate to ourselves is failure or past experience. Failure or past experience, or if you want to call it past failure, that is fine. But I'm talking about many a times when you attempt or when you have attempted something and you have failed, there's a tendency that you think that I failed in this scenario. If I do it again, there's a likelihood that I'm still going to fail. And sometimes we think to ourselves, particularly when you are looking for a job, you've written so many applications, and every time what you receive is, we are very sorry at this occasion, you are not successful. And I believe by the next time the postman knock at your door and throw something at you, or when you want to open your email, your mind will first of all go into that oh, we are sorry, at this occasion, you are not successful. I remember sometimes when I was when I wrote applications, and when they send emails, sometimes I will feel reluctant even to open it, because I always think the next thing they will say is, "Oh, we are sorry at this time, you are not successful." And I believe sometimes that comes to our way. That is some of the things that affect the way we talk to ourselves, and we begin to ask questions: why is this happening to me? Why am I having this situation? Because of past experience, because of the things we've experienced in the past, there's a tendency for us to think and say to ourselves that probably this thing cannot work. You try some things, you said, I'm not so sure this thing is going to work, but I will just try it. Let me just try and see what is going to happen. And all what we are trying to do is just to try. You are writing an application. The next thing you are saying, okay, let me just try. We don't know which one is going to bring fruit. So let me try. After all, the Bible says, sow in the day, sow in the night, sow in the evening. So let me sow and let's see what is going to happen. So one of the factors that affect the way we speak to ourselves is past failure. What has happened to us in the past? Today, some people, we think, have experienced these things in the past. I'm not going to go for it again. I've had people who said, because they've experienced breakage in marriage, in relationship, they don't want to get engaged at all again. Until God specifically asked them to do that, they will not, because of what they've experienced in the past. But the fact that something did not work last year does not mean it's not going to work this year. Because what happened in the past was past. So, when something happened to us in the past, we must not take it that the same thing will happen to us this year. I know many of us, when it is time for winter, some of us will say, yes, last year, amen. Some people will say, yes, last year I suffered that kind of sickness. It's likely that sickness will still come this year. And I think that is a bad language. That is a thing we should not be saying to ourselves. Some will say, oh, I had that fever last year. When it is winter, you don't know, I always have fever. So a fever will still come this year. We've accepted our past. We've accepted our failure. We've allow past experience to affect what God is about to do in our lives. Even when the prophet tells you that this is what God is going to do, because of your past experience, you feel that that cannot happen. And we must not allow past experience, past failure, to affect the way we communicate to ourselves. We must not allow that to happen. Some will say because in their family, something has been happening before, and it has happened repeatedly. And because of that, I believe it's still going to happen to somebody. And they will begin to confess those things. And invariably, we are saying to ourselves that God, the way I interpret that is that we are saying that God cannot even remove our past. So we must not allow past experience to affect the way we communicate to ourselves. We must look beyond our past. The Bible says we should forget those things that are behind us. We should look forward to the things that are ahead. And the Lord Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. The next point that I've put here is the opinions of other people. Many of us, we allow the opinions of other people to affect the way we live our life and the way we speak to ourselves. Many of us worry so much about what people say about us. When people tell you you are fat, and you think you are fat, and you begin to act that way, after all they've said, I am fat. So I will continue to be fat. And you begin to behave that way. When they tell you are ugly, or when somebody just tells you are ugly, maybe your mate, you are just playing, and he just mentioned that, and you begin to act that way, and you begin to tell yourself, yes, indeed, I'm ugly. I believe some people will take mirror and stay in front of mirror for almost 1 hour to begin to weigh themselves. Am I really fat? Am I really ugly? Or am I good? And you waste a lot of time because of what other people are saying concerning you. And you begin to tell yourself, oh, the reason why something is happening to me is because somebody said I am fat. Somebody said because I am ugly. And because they said, as a man, if they say you are ugly, there's a probability that you have inferiority complex. I will not be able to approach, talk to any boy. I mean any man. Any girl, sorry. Thank God we are almost all of us are married here except few people, about 3 of them. I believe you are all beautifully and wonderfully made. You are all handsome. So nothing must disturb us from talking to ladies. because we are beautifully made in the image of God. If people say you are ugly, just tell them that I am beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of God. If people say you are fat, tell them I'm fat because I am faithful, I'm available, and I am teachable for God. So, you can work on yourself. I'm not saying you should not work on yourself if you don't want to be fat. But what people say is fat is what some other people like. I mean, some people will say, well, I cannot marry a slim lady. I want a fat lady. So, if that is what and the way God wants it for you, is if it's not because of gluttony, if not because you are eating too much, then that is fine. But if it's as a result of gluttony that you are fat, then you need to watch it because gluttony is a sin. It's a sin. So, we should not allow what other, the opinion of other people to affect the way we communicate to ourselves. We should not waste our time because of the negative word that people are saying concerning us. We should not allow what people is saying about you to affect the way you live your life. I wrote here, many fail to apply for a particular job because some said that that company you are applying to does not take people of certain race. And sometimes it affects us because they will just tell you, no, don't apply for that job because I know. I've done it in the past. My brother have done it. Oh, I know a sister that did it. They did not succeed, so don't apply for it. And you say, okay, it is true because they do normally take black people. I'm not going to apply to that company. And that affects the way we speak to ourselves. And you have already accepted in your mind that even when you apply, that job will never come to you. The fact that they are not taking black people in a company does not mean that you should not go for it. That does not mean that we should not go for it. And this is applicable to many other areas in our lives. When people say something, we just accept it. Other people's opinion. Other people's opinion. We allow it to affect the way we think, the way we behave, the way, even children, sometimes you just look at yourself and say, oh, because my parents said I'm this, I'm that, and because of that you begin to behave in another way entirely. Some will say because they said, I cannot amount to anything. And because of that, you begin to live your life in a way that that person will not amount to anything. No, we must not allow what other people say about us to affect the way we behave, the way we do things. We must not allow the opinions of others. It may not even about us, it may be about something different entirely, because that is the opinion of the people. Sometimes we allow that to affect the way we do things. We allow it to affect the way we do things. Some will say because the rate of divorce today is just unbearable, and because of that, I'm not going to marry. But I always say, if the rate of divorce is so high, the rate of people who are still married is much more bigger than the rate of divorce. It's much more bigger than the rate of divorce. And that is the opinion of people, because they will back it with the research. They will say, research say this, research this say this. This morning I was reading few things on the, I was doing some things and I was reading some facts. And I find out that those facts, some of these things, I'm not saying they are not facts, they are facts. They are the things that are fact, but they are not true. They are not true reflection of the plans and purpose of God for our lives. I'm not saying they are not fact. They are fact. I was doing something on the internet, and I found that they said when people go for the interview, the amount of time they spend with the black people is 25% less than the amount they spend with white people. They said the research has proved it. When you go for interview, if you are a black people, they will spend less time with you compared to white people. They also said, when you go for interview, and the people that are interviewing you are white, they will try to keep distance to you, at the distance between you and them is greater than the distance between other white people. They said the research has proved it. These are facts, but they are not true reflection of what God said about us. And we must not allow that. Some people will say, oh, because of that, there are so many facts, which I read this morning, because it was in the morning. They said, when you write an application, they tend to look less on the application from the black people compared to white people. And they said the research says that, and they prove it. But that's not a true reflection of what God said about us, particularly those of us who are Christian. And we must not allow that to affect the way we speak to ourselves. We must not allow it to affect the way we do things. And I pray that the Almighty God will help us so that we not allow the opinions of what other people have said to affect the way we live our life, the way we communicate to ourselves, the way we behave. The other things I want to mention, which is, that's number five now. The number five that I want to mention, and which I think is very, very critical, is the opinion we have about ourselves. I think this is most critical factors. The opinions you have about yourself determine what you say about yourself. The moment we begin to have negative thinking about ourselves, it will be difficult for us to achieve anything in life. The moment a child begins to think that he cannot do something, it will be difficult for that child to do something unless God intervenes. I have students that will say, I cannot do presentation. I've never done it in my life. And I always tell them, you can do it. If other people are doing it, you can do it. Some will say, I cannot even stand before people. I cannot stand before 5 people, 10 people. I like to stay on my own. I say, well, if you are in my class, I will break that power that is holding you down. And they will begin to laugh. I say, I will break it. By the help of God, I'm going to break it, and you will begin to function normally the way you should supposed to function. And I've seen God intervene. They don't believe, but if you condition their mind, if you change their mind, speak the word to them, I believe God can use that to change their situation. A student from last semester was saying, I cannot stand before people. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. When I asked them to go come and do presentation, he just came. He just put something and just went away. And I called him. I said, well, if you are in my class, I'm not going to accept that. You know you are going to fail. I'm not like any other lecturer. If I ask you to do something, you didn't do it, I'm not going to upgrade your mark. Whatever you get is failure. And you are going to either repeat or you find your way. And along the line, he was doing well. He was coping. And each time we meet, I say, how are you now? Are you able to stay among people to say something? He said, okay, I'm improving. And by the time we almost finished the semester and they're supposed to do a group project which is supposed to last for 10 minutes, this boy was there trying to explain things and giving his innovative ideas on item. And he spent almost 30 minutes. And this is the guy that before he was unable to do anything. So if we are, is what you think about yourself is very important. And what you think about yourself is what you are going to say to yourself. If you think that you cannot achieve anything, then it will be difficult for us to achieve something, even for God. Some will say, no, I cannot preach. I thank God for some people in this church. Sometimes they said, oh, I cannot preach, I cannot stand, I cannot even stand to look at people. But now, thank God, God has broke those power in their life. They can do anything now. Glory be to God. So what you think about yourself will affect the way you behave, will affect the way you do things, will affect the way you communicate to yourself. If you want to apply for a job, for example, again, it is the same thing. Even if you have the quality, because of what you think about yourself, that will not allow you to accept that job, or that will not allow you to apply for that job. I remember, and people here that have mentioned that show in the past, we way, can bear me witness. I remember I used to say that when you come to UK at a certain age, that is always a barrier. That is a fact. But that is not the plans of God for us. Because when you, I mean, and I have my reason when I used to say that, because I always think, oh, if they want to take people and you are already 50, and there are somebody who is just 20, 23, who is graduating with the same degree as you have got, I mean, who do you think they are going to take? If you have the same qualification, you have the same ability, you have the same character, probably they first of all consider that boy because it will be useful for them than for you. I mean, than compared to you who's already, who's about to retire. That was my reason. And I always say, age is a barrier when it comes to job employment, particularly if you come at a certain age to this country. And that's true. When I was doing my PhD, the student that we did PhD together, I can literally give back to them. I can literally give back to them. Because they are just, by 19, they started their PhD. 3 plus 19, I mean 3 plus, 21. By 24, they are already a PhD holder. And I think by 24 in Nigeria, I was still undergraduate. I think I just entered university maybe two years at that time. So, and I have to spend 5 years again in the uni because of my course. And you had that to service. You have that to so many other years as well. And you now come here, you want to compete with somebody who is just graduating at age of 24. You think this is difficult. And each time, even when I saw a job, I would say, I don't know, maybe I should apply, maybe I should not apply. Because they don't put age, but I know, and those of us who are to interview, we also know that sometimes they will not tell you, but they consider age. That is part of what they do, sometimes that they don't tell people. And you cannot prove it. And one of the things I was reading this morning is unconscious bias was one of the things I was reading where I got those information. And there are so many things they put there. People will not tell you. They will not say because you are black and that's the reason why they didn't take you. They will not say because you are old. That's the reason why they are not taking you and so on and so forth. But these are facts. But I begin to realize that these facts are not true reflection of what God said concerning me. It's not a true reflection of what God said concerning you. And if you are my in the past situation, please, I want you to change your mentality today. Some of us will say, I'm too old. I cannot go to school again. I cannot do anything. When even if I go to school, what will I use it for at the age of 50 or 60? But that is not the truth. If God wants to bless you, God can bless you at any age. And I was saying yesterday, I was thinking to myself, when God called Abraham to the ministry, when was that? How old was he? I think 75. God said, walk before me. In Genesis chapter 17. And I was saying to myself, if God will call him at that age, then what are we saying? What are we talking about? So, there is no time, there is no age limit. And sometimes mommy used to say, oh, I'm getting old. I said, mommy, you are not old. Your age mates are still preaching on the pulpit. So, you are not old at all. So, all the mommies here, don't think you are old. Because God is your strength. And God can still do whatever he wanted to do with you, even at that age. It is just, there's nothing that God cannot do. Even if you think that, oh, I am weak in the body, God can still do and perform miracles through you. So we should not allow our own opinion to affect, to determine what we said concern, what we say concerning ourselves. Another thing that I've heart that I've seen is particularly those of us who are in academic, we believe that black majority cannot be a vice VC in this in the UK. I've heard so many people saying that, including professors. We said they said it's not possible. I've been here for a long time. There was a Nigeria professor in my school, and he used to say, David, I've been to so many places. Have you seen a professor? Say, okay, I can remember it's like there's one that is from black minority, either black or Asian, that is now VC. I told him, I said, we will get there. We may not be there now, but we'll be there very, very, very soon. So if we allow that to affect us, there are so many things that you will not be able to do. I remember a colleague of mine used to always tell me, he said, David, when there's any job, apply for it. He said, apply for it, because if you don't apply for it, at the end of the day, people that are not qualified, they are the people that they are going to take because you did not apply. And if you apply, it will not cost you anything. Apply for it. If they didn't take you, fine. If they take you, that is good. Or if they call you for interview. And I say, okay. And I'm going to always do that. And I remember there's one I applied for. And the guy said, well, I called you for interview because I saw your CV. And your CV is one of the best among all the CV. And I said to myself, I want to see this person. And that is why he has called me for interview. It's not for them to give me the job. But I said, well, at least I'll prove a point. I'll prove a point. Because I went, they said, you have done well. Your interview was good. Your CV was good. Everything was good. But the bet is that it's not that I didn't do well. Because he said, David, you really did well. But the reason why I called you in the first instance is because I saw your CV and I was so impressed. And I said to myself, I want to see that person. So sometimes we limit ourselves. We think we cannot get to some places. Some time ago, somebody was discussing with him, said, look at it, NHS, was saying NHS school. The person mentioned so many areas. He said, have you seen a black people as one of their directors? I don't know, because I have not worked in NHS. Mommy, you have worked in NHS for a long time. Do you have any directors? Probably there are a few now. Asians, okay. So these are the things sometimes that affect us. But henceforth, as Christians, we must not allow that to affect the way we think. If we be thinking that way from today onward, let's stop it, for God's sake. Let's have a better understanding. Let's begin to speak the language of a champion, because indeed that is what we are. That is what God has called us to be. I've told you, this message is not for you, it's also for me. Because some of these things, I've done it in the past, and I know many of us here, we've done that in the past as well. We must not allow our own opinion to destroy what God is about to do in our lives. I remember, like I said last Sunday, we were going through the contagious Christian. And I was trying to make all effort, because we've been told, which we all know, that we need to be intentional. And I sometimes go out of my way to do some other things. And I remember a few weeks ago, I was discussing with a lady in our office, still talking about the opinion we have about ourselves. And this lady was saying, we talk, because when they see me, they always ask me, have you married? And each time I always ask them, why do you people always ask me, have I married? And my wife said, one day, maybe because I don't use ring. I said, well, that will not change. That will not change anything, because I'm not going to, I'm not going to use ring. There's nothing bad in using ring. I have it at home and I use it occasionally. But I'm not going to allow whatever anybody is saying to force me to do what I have not used to. And when I, each time, somebody will ask me, and next tomorrow another person, even in the same office, they will ask me the same question. And I always tell them, I told you this thing over and over. And they said, you look so young. I said, well, that is where I start my preaching, because it's very, very easy for me to start from there. When they say you look so young, you are just like maybe maximum, maybe 20, 35. I say, glory be to God. Do you know why I'm so young? It's because I have a God. And that is how we start, and we begin to communicate. So there are something that is advantageous sometimes. I mean, you may be thinking that it's not advantageous to you, but it is a good way of starting communication. When they say that, I say, glory be to God, I am young because I have a father who is younger than anybody. And they begin to, we start conversation. And this lady was saying that, after we've discussed, and she said, I also asked her question. I said, have you married? I know, because somebody was asking even in my office that, has that lady married, that she's not so sure? She used to be in the office from morning to evening. Maybe she has not married. That is why she's working that way. I said, well, don't worry. I will find out. And I will give you reports. I'm not one of the 12 spies. But I will give you report. Good report. So I asked the lady, I said, have you married? She said, yes, I've married. He told me she has lived in Africa before. All of these things. And I said, okay. Have you got, how many children have you got? He says, oh, David, no, I didn't have any child. And I said, why? He said, we've tried, and it doesn't work, and since it doesn't work, I'm now too old that I think there's no point trying again. And when you look at her, probably in her late 40, and I told her, I said, you are not old at all. It depends on what you think about yourself. If you think that you cannot have a baby, it will be difficult. But you need to believe that you can have a baby. And I began to explain to her how God blessed Abraham and Sarah, even at their old age. And I was telling her that if you have faith in God, there's nothing that God cannot do. And that's why I said over and over in this church that if you are looking for a way to preach, it is easy in the UK, because there are problems here. But people will not disclose it unless you have a one-to-one encounter with them. And you find that when you have one-to-one encounter, they begin to share things with you. You begin to understand what they are going through. And you find that most of them, they did not agree with what the government, some of the policies of the government. When we talk about abortion, some of them did not agree with it. When we talk about all this, the way children are behaving, you find that some of them, they do not agree with it. But somebody said that the reason why we hear this thing most at times is because the minority that are doing that, they can make noise. They are able to make noise. And when they make noise, everybody will begin to listen to them. And that is why we hear all these things. But if you look at it critically, you find that most people do not agree with those things. And we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can pass our message to them. So what you think about yourself will affect what you say to yourself. If you think to yourself that, no, I cannot have a child again, that is the end. That will be difficult. And if you say, I cannot do this, that will also be difficult, because you have refused what God said concerning you. And when we look at the scripture that we read briefly before we close, if we look at the scripture, I'm going to still talk about one point more before we go. Let us look at the book of Numbers chapter 13 from verse 26 to 33. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, that the city are strong, and the city are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell there. Go to the next verse. Then Caleb quieted them, quieted the people before Moses, and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we were able to overcome it." You see, in the preceding verses, these people, they said they've already made up their mind. I believe they had some meeting. There were 12 of them. I believe 10 of them, they've had a separate meeting. I said, "This is what we are going to see when we get into the meeting, when we get to report to Moses." And they said to themselves, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. That was their language. And when you go down, you find that in verse, 32, let's look at 32. "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" Look at that message. "Divorce it is inhabited, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Now, look, before you go, they said that land, before the people that are living there. How come again in the next statement they said they saw people? If the land is before everybody, how come they saw people there? There will be nobody to live in that city. But they've made up their mind that this is what we are going to do. And they did it, and it resulted in the terrible things for them because they did not believe the word of God. So, when we allow our own opinion to affect us, what we are going to say about ourselves will be negative, negative, and negative. And we will not be able to achieve what God has got in plan for us. And that will lead us to the last point, which is insecurity. Insecurity will come in. Insecurity. When you think you are not secure, you begin to do so many things. You see people in Nigeria today or in Africa, they have a car with bulletproof, with all sort kind of things. You have a fence that is high. It's even enough to build another house. Just because of insecurity. Because they've told themselves that if I'm not careful, somebody will kill me. And because of that, they've started to try to do whatever they can do to ensure that they are not killed. But who has got life is God. If God says, "Your time has come," no matter the army you got. I mean, we've seen story in Nigeria before, how God dealt with people that we even with all they've got. So, insecurity we sent in, and so many things will happen. What are the consequences of negative words we speak to ourselves? What are the consequences of negative words we speak to ourselves? One, it may lead to cancellation and non-fulfillment of God's promise. It may lead to cancellation and non-fulfillment of God's promise. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 to 23, "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word.'" We read this last week. "But truly, as I live, all the heart shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." This is God has made that promise for them. But because of what they have said, God said, "That promise that I've made, I cancel it." And God did cancel it. God canceled it. None of them saw the land. Though God has promised them that this is what I'm going to do, but because of the word they spoke to themselves, that promise was canceled. Number two, it may lead to death. It may lead to death. Numbers chapter 14, verse 26 to 37, we will not have time to read it. Number 14, 26 to 37, when you get home, you can read it. The Bible says there, God told them, he said, because of what they have said, their carcass Let's probably look at a few verses there. Number 14, 26. How long shall... Let's go to the next one. The carcass of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. That is what God said to them. Let's go to toward the end of it. Okay, along the line, just to summarize that, that passage, none of them saw the land because what they've said leads to death. And you remember what they've said in the book of Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, Exodus 16, 3, Exodus 16, 3. Exodus 16, 3. They said there that it is better for them to have died in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And God said, since you have said you are going to die, then death is coming your way. And that is why all of them that spoke wrong thing died in that wilderness. And that's what brought what we normally quote. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. Number 14, 28. Sometimes we quote it to suit what we wanted to say, but that is the genesis of number 14, 28. Number 14, 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, thus as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. That's the word of God to them. He said, you said you are going to die, no problem. And they all died. But we can look at it that fast in a positive way as well. If we said good things, or if we say good things every day to ourselves, good things will come to our way because this is the word of God. Whatever you have said in my hearing, so I will do to you. That is the promise of God for us. Also, what are the consequences of negative words? It may also lead to delay of open doors and miracles. Number 14, 33 to 34. Number 14, 33 to 34. Number 14, 33 to 34. And your sons shall be shepherd in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcass are consumed in the wilderness, according to the numbers of the days in which you spy out the land. 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. 40 days turns out to 40 years, delays of miracles. Sometimes what we say about ourselves delays our miracle. It delays what God wants us to do concerning us. And that is the reason why, as God will help us, we need to know and to appropriate to say the right thing. For the children of Israel, a 40 days miracle turned to 40 years, and 1 day to 365 days. For an individual, it may lead to so many things, even in marriage, in childbearing, in job opportunity, in every areas of life. What we speak to ourselves may affect, may delay our miracles. So please, let's learn how to speak good things. Let's learn how to say the right word. And in conclusion, to conclude this message, I believe the Lord has spoken to us, and I believe since last week, many of us will be practicing what we think is the right thing. We need to learn to communicate with ourselves in order to enjoy the year of open doors in full. We must remember number 14:28 that I've just quoted. Just as you have spoken in my hearing, I will do to you. And the only place, I say again, the only place to obtain the right word to communicate is from the scripture. That's the only place where you can get the right word. For example, Psalm 1 verse 3 says, I shall be like a tree planted by the riverside that bring forth its fruit in its season. Whatever I do, I will prosper. Psalm 23 verse 1 to 6 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And toward the verse 4, Let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 of that says, even though I walk in, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And you anointed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And because of that, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And Psalm 24, verse 1, when you go for an interview and people are trying to say something, you tell them, the Bible says the head is of the Lord and the fullness thereof. If the earth is of the Lord, your place of work belongs to God. And if God wants me to be there, I will be there no matter what you do. Nobody can change the plans and the destiny of God for our lives, except you want to change it yourself. And if we lack anything, what are we going to cook for ourselves? Are we going to be crying that, oh, we have no food to eat, like the people did in the wilderness? Remember, where we read last week, the Bible says, the men of Israel, they were crying day and night. Old people crying. Because of what? Because of food. But remember, Psalm 37, verse 19 says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. If we look at, which we may not have to read, Psalm 50, verses 10 to 11, God was asking them, he said, in Psalm 50, I think we use it during the night of joy, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the head from the rising of the sun to it is going down. Verse 11, he said, I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. This thing belongs to God. Agai chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, silver belong to me. That is what God is saying. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this lesser temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Silver belong to God. And if we look at Isaiah, which we read last week, God says so many things to us there. Isaiah 65, verse 20 to 24. Isaiah 65, verse 20 to 24. The promises of God are loaded in that scripture. And I want you, when you get home, go and read it because we've read it last week. And Psalm 118, verse 17 to 19. The Bible says, I shall not die, but we live to declare the glory of God. These are the words that you can speak to yourself when situation comes. I'm not saying that the challenges that of life will not come to your way. And I'm not saying you are a super person. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need the word of God. 1 John, Psalm 91, verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 16. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Romans 8, 1. The Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of the Almighty God. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapons formed against us shall prosper. That is the word of God. It said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which raises against me in judgment, I will condemn. Because this is my heritage as the servant of the Lord. And my righteousness is from God. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:19 says, but God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 134, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I am wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of God. These are the right words to say to ourselves instead of sitting down and cry. Instead of sitting down and begin to make negative conversation within ourselves. Instead of begin to say wrong things. And since last week, my language has changed.
because God was beginning to give me more revelations in some areas. Even when I want to say it, I will remember the message myself. This is what you said, and I must practice it. So as we go this week, the language of the champion and the word inspired by the Holy Spirit. And these are the word they communicate. That must be our language. The language of champion. No matter what people say, we must not allow it to affect us. And I just remember one story. I was looking at it yesterday. It came to my mind last week. Then I remember it again. John chapter 9, verse 25. When you know, when Jesus opened the eyes of that man that was blind from his mother's womb. And they came, the Pharisees came and they were asking him questions. How did he manage to open your eyes? How did he do this? How did he do that? It was this, it was that. The man did not allow the opinion of people to affect what God has done in his life. The man told them, he said, no matter what you said, I don't care. What I know is that, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. Your opinion doesn't matter to me. Your thinking doesn't matter to me. What you think about Jesus is not anything to me. What I know is that once I was blind, now I see. How he did it, I don't know. So today, as you go, if people tell you something, just tell them how God is going to do it, I don't know. But I know my God is able to do it. Whether it takes him 10 years to do it, I don't care. What I know is that he will do it because he has promised and his promise cannot fail. Shall we rise up on our feet as we talk to God this afternoon? Let's just thank God. I will not say you should pray any special prayer. Just make some confession. Say some good things. Say some good things to yourself. We are not praying for anybody at this moment. Just say some good things about to yourself. And I mean, I believe all of us here, we are loaded with scriptures. It's not that we don't have the scripture. We are loaded with the scripture. We know what the scripture is. But sometimes, because of situations and circumstances, we unconsciously, we say some things. Not that we want to say it, but sometimes we said it because of situations. Let's just begin to say some good things about ourselves this morning. You know your own situation. Say some good things about your own situation. If it's the fact that you are sick, begin to talk to God that by his stripes I am made whole. Because the Bible says he said his word out, he healed them, he delivered them from their destruction. If it is lack, we have looked at the scriptures that say our God is able. Silver belong to God. All the things in the world belong to God. If it's a situation, if it's a challenge, we can tell God the heart and the fullness thereof belong to our God. Those are the what we should begin to confess to ourselves, say to ourselves, it's not really the power of positive confession, but what we say to ourselves. Sometimes we speak louder. It's not only about confession. It's what you believe in. T.L. Osborne says, insecurity dominates a life where faith has been surrendered. Sometimes we say something because we surrender our faith, we surrender our trust, and we allow the enemies sometimes to take advantage over us. Let's begin to say something to God this morning and begin to thank him and begin to appreciate him. I begin to tell him that, Lord, I know my life will never remain the same because you are God who has promised, and I know your promise cannot fail. You will stand by me, you will uphold me. I will not fail you, I will not disappoint you. In the name of Jesus, let's just talk to God as we round up this prayer this morning. And let's appreciate God that God will continue to open our eyes, that we begin to see more from the word of God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 toward the last verse, I think verse 21. The Bible says, and God appeared again in Silo. And there in Silo, God said the word of God came again to Samuel. And this word, this revelation was by the word of God. The amount of revelation you receive is the amount of word with is a function of the amount of God you are able, amount of the word of God you are able to digest and confess. That is where revelation comes. Because that's what the scripture says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. God revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And as we go this week, the Lord will do something in our lives. He will reveal himself to us in a new way. Let's begin to thank God. Let's begin to appreciate him. Let's begin to worship him as we close this evening. I mean this afternoon.